Thanks for tuning in to the Drive On Podcast, where we talk about issues affecting veterans after they get out of the military. Before we get started, I'd like to ask a favor. If you haven't done so already, please rate and review the show on Apple Podcasts. If you've already done that, thank you. These ratings help the show get discovered so it can reach a wider audience. And while you're there, click the subscribe button so that you get notified of new episodes as soon as they come out. If you don't use Apple Podcasts, you can visit driveonpodcast.com/subscribe to find other ways of subscribing, including our email list. I'm your host, Scott DeLuzio, and now let's get on with the show. Hey everyone, today my guest is Joey MacDizon. Joey is a Marine Corps veteran and the CEO of the Mobile Cigar Lounge out of New Jersey. He's here today to share his story of transitioning from the military to civilian life and how he ended up in the role of an entrepreneur. So Joey, welcome to the show. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background, how you got here?
Well, first off, thank you, Scott, for having me. Really appreciate that. A little bit about myself, New Jersey, born and raised, joined the Marine Corps 3 days after I graduated high school. At that time, I wanted to go to college at the same time, so I got accepted to Norwich University up in Vermont, where I got my bachelor's. But during my 4 years of college, I was actually deployed to Norway, Mongolia, and Iraq in 08-09. So by the time I graduated college and ended my military career, it all happened at the same time. So after that, in 2011, I started doing a couple things. I started working with other veterans and then started finding out entrepreneurship. And I got a whole sense of it. I started learning more and more about it, which ultimately, 8 years is when I started opening my own business. So, I mean, there was time in between. There was a lot of learning. I had a lot of great mentors. I got a lot of people that helped me out. So that's kind of a little bit of my journey.
That's actually interesting. I didn't know that you went to Norwich University. My brother actually went to Norwich University. And it was probably a few years before you said you graduated in like 08. Oh, no. Where did you graduate? 2011. Okay. It was a few years before that. He was there.
What's your brother's name?
Stephen DeLuzio is his name. It might be familiar, might not be familiar. I don't know. He was actually killed in Afghanistan, so I know they did some stuff at Norwich to kind of like honor him, remember him, all that kind of stuff. So there may be. I don't know. I haven't been up there in years, so I don't really know what is going on up there, and what if they had any.
Holy cow! What a small world, huh?
Yeah. He was actually killed in 2010, and so that would have been around the time that you were there, probably as well. So
when did he graduate?
He ended up transferring out of Norwich after his first deployment to Iraq, which was in 2006, and he transferred to University of Hartford. So he was only there for like 1.5 years or so.
Gotcha.
But he went there, and that's so he ended up joining the Vermont National Guard up there while he was a student at Norwich, and so that's where he got on his first deployment to Iraq while he was there.
Was he an officer when he went to Iraq?
No, he was enlisted. I think he was a E3 when he went to Iraq, and then he was a E4 by the time he got back. And then he left Norwich, came back to Connecticut where we lived at the time, and finished out his degree there. But he stayed in the Vermont National Guard the entire time. So for his drill weekends and everything, he would drive up to Vermont every weekend and once a month every time they had drill or whatever. So he very very much stayed close to that Vermont community and the Vermont military community, and knew quite a few people who went to Norwich. So I'm sure there's some people that you and I both know in common that we may not even have realized at this point. So kind of went off on a tangent.
But it's funny. We'll come to that really quick, but
yeah.
He went with my cousin. So he probably deployed with my cousin.
Oh, really?
In 06. So okay. That whole, I mean, we lost a couple of Norwich guys. I'm getting chills just thinking about it because I'm quickly looking at, I believe that he was in the same unit. I'll text my cousin afterwards.
Okay, yeah.
He probably knew your brother.
That's really interesting. And this is such a small world because you and I got connected just kind of by chance. Yeah.
And you're in Arizona and I'm in Jersey. And then,
there's really no way that we would have thought that any of this would have made any kind of connection. So that's really interesting to me. And it's kind of a small world, but that's not really what we're here to talk about.
Yeah,
but we kind of went down that path. So We let the cat out of the bag already by saying that you ended up being an entrepreneur and a little bit about, you know, how you got there. But was that always the goal after getting out of the military, you know, becoming an entrepreneur, or did you have other jobs first in between that? How did that go for you? And what did that journey look like for you?
Yeah. So it's funny because where I grew up in Belleville in New Jersey, you know, most of my friends and family, I never could count how many on my hand, how many people were like business owners. Everyone was like blue collared. They worked for other people. You know, they worked for it. They had jobs and stuff. So I never really learned about entrepreneurship. It was only until after I graduated, my roommate at Norwich, his father owns a painting company in Westchester County. Does a lot of, you know, beautiful houses. And, you know, I've known his family, you know, him and his, me and his son used to play rugby together. We were like really good friends during college. And he started speaking to me about entrepreneurship because I know he did very well. Like I stayed at their house and he was telling me, he's like, entrepreneurship. This is the, and I remember him looking at me, he's like, this is the way to go. And I was like, huh, interesting. You know, a little bit about Norwich, I graduated with a history degree. So I never really knew about business. And that was when I was like 22, 23 years old until I started learning about entrepreneurship. Then I got into finances. And I you know, a good friend of mine, Carlos, he took me under his wing, really taught me about business. And then he was a military. But he was just teaching me about business, about, you know, customer service, marketing, you know, working on your people skills. And then I started meeting other military entrepreneurs and they started teaching me and I started learning. So it gradually kept going, but I didn't know about entrepreneurship until 23, after I got out of the military, after, you know, college. Like I didn't know anyone that really owned a business at that time. So,
that's interesting, you know, how you can go down that path without really having any background in it and just sort of taking a leap of faith and, you know, having some, maybe, you know, a handful of people that you knew maybe that maybe gave you a little bit of guidance, but, you know, that you just sort of took a leap of faith. So that's pretty interesting there. And, you know, a lot of people have great ideas, or at least they like to think that they have great ideas and that they think that they would make a great business out of these great ideas that they have. But businesses, I think, as you and I and other business owners probably know, businesses are more than just ideas, right? So what was the process like for you to go from, hey, I have this great idea, or I have, you know, this idea for a business, to, oh man, there's a lot involved in this. Like, what was that process like for you? Like, where did that happen? Where did you come up with the idea first, you know?
You know, man, I learned a lot. You know, I played a lot of sports growing up, you know, and being part of a team was a big thing. And becoming part of a team, you get to find out about wins and losses. And the hard work goes behind it. Mm-hmm. So when I learned about that, when I was younger, I started finding out, like, you know, you work hard, you play hard, you win, you lose. When you lose, you work harder. So in business, I took that same mentality where you got to work hard. You got to do the work. You know, there's very few businesses. I don't even know if there's any business that just, you know, that just didn't have any work behind it. There had to be some sort of foundation of work going on. So when I started going at it, I had to ask myself, let's be, first of all, am I going to really do this? Because, you know, when you do business, you got to be kind of like true to yourself. Are you actually doing this for extra money? Do you think you're doing this to build, like, you know, into a franchise? So when I had to be true to myself, I'm like, you know what? When I came up with this idea, I was like, yeah, I want to build it into a brand. I want to put hard work into it. And so that's you know, and that's why I talk about where I learned from the military and where I learned earlier from playing sports, that there's a lot of hard work that goes behind it, especially as being a business owner. And a lot of it, especially as a veteran, there's so many resources out there for veterans to start their own businesses. So when I started my own business, I didn't go in blindly. I took a mentality like I was an E1, or I was just a buck private, just didn't know anything. And I think as a Marine, you know, it's for a lot, or even a veteran, so it's hard to put their ego in their back pocket, right? Because you do 4, 6 years, 10 years, 20 years, and you come back to civilian life, you're like, oh, what is this, you know? So right. I kind of like put my ego in my back pocket. And I was like, there's a lot of people out there that know what they're talking about. So it's kind of like joining a new unit and getting the kind of guidance from your senior enlisted, from your enlisted that's been around, right? And I took that mentality, and that's how I believe that our business is successful, is because we took that E1 mentality. We're like, let's learn from these guys and gals who've been around, who've done very successful or have been successful, and learn from them. Because that's how I did it in the military. That's how I did it when I was playing sports. You know, it's a big key, and people sometimes forget that.
Yeah, it is. And it's good to be, you know, humble in a way, thinking that you don't have all of the answers. You're not going to hit the ground running and be this overnight success, because overnight success is, I don't know anyone who's actually an overnight success where they, you know, they went to bed, you know, one night, and then the next morning they woke up and boom, now they're a millionaire and, you know, life is great. And they're, you know, in music videos with the money and the cars and everything else, you know, like that doesn't happen. Like that's nobody. Yeah. Like that doesn't happen at all. But it appears that way to some people, and some people might see somebody who, you know, yesterday I didn't know who this person was, and then today, now all of a sudden I know this person. They're this big, you know, successful, whatever, business owner, entertainer, whatever it is. And they get a little bit of jealousy, and they maybe think, well, if that person could do it, I can do it. Well, that person had long nights of working late and struggling and being rejected, and having all of the same struggles that anyone else goes through. It's just, they made it work, you know, and they persevered, and they kept going, and they made it all work.
I agree with you, man. Okay. I 100% agree with you. Where you were going with, I was just having a conversation with someone yesterday. Yeah. It's funny when you talk to business owner, or you talk to like someone in your field that there's a grind behind it. And we were just chatting because, you know, I was talking to this particular company, and they're an entertainment company here in New Jersey. A young guy just started his first year, doing great, fantastic. And I was telling him about our first year. We've done tons of events. But, you know, at some events you weren't making, probably you just broke even, yeah, or you kind of did it just to get your way out there, but you're grinding those hours. And it's funny that you say that. I literally just had that conversation yesterday, that people don't see what goes behind the scenes. They sometimes see the, you know, and it happens everywhere. You see it in sports, you see it in movies. It just happens, but you got to respect the grind, and you're exactly right. But you know what? There's a community behind the curtain that we look at each other and we're like, yeah, man, we're in the trenches right now. So, right, so it's good to have that kind of like, you know, kind of like section. But yeah, I just wanted to say that because it was just funny that you were just talking about that.
Yeah, and so earlier you had mentioned that there are some resources available to veterans who are maybe looking to start a business. I know this is not necessarily related to the military, you know, through any official organization, but I know our family we started an organization to help veteran business owners who are looking, you know, like yourself and other people who are looking to start a business, to go through the whole process and kind of flesh out their ideas and you know, things like that. We started that just as kind of a thing to help some people out. It's zero cost. You know, if we can help somebody out, we will, you know, and, you know, see what goes on there. But there's other resources that are available through the military. And I'm sure, you know, you mentioned some of them, that you took advantage of, but, what are some of those, organizations or resources or tools that are available to veterans that you were able to use to help yourself start your business and hit the ground running, you know?
Yeah. No, great question, Scott. And I love it because I believe this time, especially, you know, where we're going through this whole pandemic, this is a great time to access those resources. I mean, to become an entrepreneur today, I think is the most easiest thing now than it was 20 years ago, especially as a veteran. The amount of resources, and like you were saying, you help veteran businesses help start with startup costs. I think this is a great time. So for me and my journey, I did, you know, check with your local colleges. Here at Fairleigh Dickinson, I took a course called VLV, Veteran Launching Ventures. And it was a 10-week course, and man, it was like a master's course. I got assigned mentors and develop a business plan, marketing plan, financial plan. I'm sure there are plenty of colleges out there. I'm currently in a business program with Rutgers University for entrepreneurs called EPI. That's just in New Jersey alone. You got nonprofits like Bunker Labs. We have one in New York City and Philly, and then we started one in New Jersey. Bunker Labs is a great group. They do some incubation for businesses that are looking to start up. And not only those organizations that help, but some of the networking organizations. Like I belong to New Jersey Veterans Chamber of Commerce. I belong to the Greater Philadelphia Veteran Network. You know, those, and that's when you get to network with other veteran entrepreneurs. So while going through your journey, if veterans or someone who's listening, you know, there's a huge community out there. You got social media, like reach out to people. When I started my own business, I reached out to other veteran business owners for help that were not in the industry that I was in. So I just wanted to, because business is pretty much the same thing. You need a product, you need some marketing, you need to have some revenue, you got to have some financials in place, right? It's kind of like the same basis. But then when you start asking people questions, like how do you calculate, you know, like sales and revenue, all that stuff, you got to ask. So,
yeah.
I mean, those are those are a lot of the resources that we've used. And, you know, there was a veteran chamber of commerce, I believe in New York, that, you know, the Shark Tank, Damon John, it was like his free business course that if you're a veteran, you could apply, and then you get his course that was worth like $1,500 or something like that. You could get it for free. Bro, I clicked on that. I got it, and I did it right away.
Yeah.
You know, and something we like to say is every book about success is written. No one's reading it. So when we talk about resources and knowledge, I mean, we have a powerful thing in front of us. You know, your cell phone, YouTube, Google. I Google things all the time, and just because, like I said, it's kind of taking that mentality, that E1 mentality, and just relearning things. And no one came in as an expert in their field. They had to grind it. They have to research it. They had to figure it out. So if someone's listening and they're like, hey, I want to start a business, do the X, Y, and Z, man, you first of all, you can contact someone who's doing your same business across the country, mm-hmm. which I did. Contact okay. someone who's in your local community. Who's a veteran business owner, connect with veterans. There's colleges all over the place. They probably have veteran entrepreneur classes for free, you know, or for like ridiculously cheap and affordable, but you're taking like a master's level class.
And, yeah, and the back, value you get out of that is so huge. Yeah.
So huge. And, you know, when you do that and then you go back to what we were talking about, is kind of like be true to yourself. Like, is this business, am I going to do it just to make a part-time money, full-time money? Am I doing it to hopefully retire from it? Be true to yourself, because the amount of work that you put into your business is exactly the amount of money that will be coming back to you. It's right, kind of like right. that circle. I don't think you can put 1 hour in for X amount. There's people that do that, but they put a lot of hours in to get that 1 hour input for a lot of money.
Yeah, so those are the people who, you know, to use the analogy of the guy who's spinning plates, you know, on a pole, like at a circus or something like that. They put a lot of time getting all those plates spinning, and now it's just maintenance that they're doing. So it looks like, that person only works for an hour a day or a couple hours a day here and there. Well, that person at that point, they had a lot of systems put in place that they took a lot of time and energy to get those things up and running. And now they're maintaining it and they're checking in on it and making sure everything's still running smoothly. They're giving a little extra spin to a couple plates here and there and making sure that everything's still on track. But that's not realistic to think that you're going to start a business today and then be able to work on it an hour a day for, you know, the next 6 months and be a millionaire at the end of that time. Like, it's just not going to happen. So you mentioned you had a mentor, through these different programs that you were involved in. So what advice or guidance did they provide that saved you a lot of headaches, like stuff that you might've gone down the wrong path, in terms of setting up your business, but they were able to kind of guide you, in the right direction.
You know what, man? So Jason's father, the guy who I worked for, mm-hmm. I call him Mr. Heiser, Marty. What he taught me was the beginning stages of entrepreneurship. A good friend of mine, Carlos Salazar, he taught me about hustling and being able to work hard, play hard, kind of translate the skills that I've learned in the military and sports and put it into your business. I learned from a fellow Marine, Mike Rios and Gunny, talking about you take care of your people and their people take care of you. And that's where I learned. Because, you know, for us in my business, I pay my guys pretty well. And the reason for that is what Mike Rios taught me was if you pay your guys well, they will do a great job, which means the client is going to be happy, which means you're happy. Everyone's eating. Everyone's doing good. And that was very important. And then something that I've met a lot of phenomenal entrepreneurs over the years. You know, something that there's a Marine business barbecue over here in New Jersey, Dan from Red, White, and Q, fellow Marine. And something I loved about his business, he always gives back. Like every time and for us, we give back every monthly. We just started this year. Every month we're giving back 5% of our gross sales. As of right now, you know, things are slow, but we're still giving back because what Dan did was he was giving back to a lot of the hospitals, the VA hospitals. So I learned every time I meet a business owner and I get to have a quality conversation. Listen, I'm with cigars. So when I sit down with someone, we have cigars, we have a couple scotches, whatever, we're really getting to the conversation. It's very intimate. And, you know, I asked them, like, hey, you know, even for you, Scott, I'll sit down, like, Scott, you've been in business for X amount of years. What's something you would tell yourself, you know, that a lot that you know now that when you started your business? And I've learned so much from that question, from choosing the right partners to marketing to putting a lot of energy where it needs to be, not where it's supposed to be. And that really grew, you know, really ingrained into me. And, you know, having the amount of friends, especially my partners and a good friend of mine, Nelson Osorio, I keep myself in a good circle of people where we're just constantly feeding into each other. And I think that's very important too. I'm sorry that was maybe a long answer, but
no, that's good.
I believe that's very important for a lot of people. It's just ask questions, man. You just got to. And when you ask those questions, it saves you the headaches. It saves you the amount of time and money. I mean, listen, I always say you only got three things in life: your time, your resources, and your money. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you got to put it into the right buckets.
Right, exactly.
Being able to talk to those people helped me out a long way.
Right. So you mentioned that you have several partners in your business. And, you know, one of the things I like to tell other people, or, you know, other people who are maybe considering starting up a business or becoming partners with somebody else, is that the partnership relationship has to be more than a 1+1=2 type of relationship. But the sum of the parts has to be greater that way. So it's more of a 1+1=3 or 5 or 10 or something like that, so that you can play off of each other's strengths, fill in the gaps where someone else might be weak, and that type of thing. What was it that you looked for in your partners to kind of help grow your business, and with that in mind, to make that partnership stronger than any one of the individuals could have been on their own?
Going back to the asking business owner what he would have done,
yeah.
He literally told me, "I wish I would have known my partners better." Okay. And you know, a very successful Navy SEAL guy. And you're exactly right. People think when you bring in a partner, like I have two partners, but I've known them since 2006. So we've been good friends. We know each other. You know, we're very transparent with each other, but we have strengths and weaknesses. And so when we look about partners, you know, people are like, "Oh, which should I bring?" There's different types of partners. There's investment partners. There's mm-hmm. there's kind of like those angel partners, investors that are just going to put money in. You got to think about to yourself, like, what kind of partner do you want? Do you want a partner that's just going to give you money, you do the grind, to give you the equity to do what you need to do? Do you need a working partner who's actually going to 50-50? But then you got to be... You got to have that communication. I was very lucky that I know my partners for a long time. And like my one partner, Miley, what he does with his full-time job, he works with clients. What does he do with the mobile cigar owners? He works with our clients. He's our client relationship manager. My other partner who owns a business already that does a lot of marketing and branding, guess who does marketing and branding? He does. And so it's kind of great because what I do is I oversee it, and I make sure that we build gaps, and then we make kind of goals for each other, so we're all growing together. So when you're looking for partners, you gotta figure out and ask yourself, what kind of partner are you looking for? And then from there, then you can decide who you're going to go with. But from someone, from a fellow Navy SEAL that said, "I wish I got to know my partners better," because, you know, in the end, he didn't, you know, things happen.
Yeah,
it can happen. So I was very fortunate that I chose the right partners. I got to partner up with people. But yeah, that's some advice that I would give. That's something that told me.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and that's great advice to pass along too, because I've seen some businesses where, you know, it was a great business. Both of the partners in the business, or all of the partners in the business, in some cases are more than two. You know, they're all great on their own. It's just they didn't have that good synergy together. You know, like you've known these people for you know, well over a decade, and so you knew going into it, you know, what your relationship was like and what your communication style was like and all that kind of stuff. So you kind of had a good idea that, you know, whether or not these people were going to be good people to partner with. And just because you're friends, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be good business partners, you know, and sometimes it's just the opposite. You know, if you're friends, you might be terrible business partners, you know?
Yeah. You know, man, and you're exactly right. Yeah. I was just talking to a good buddy of mine. He does a beautiful work art, Veteran Wood, and over here in New Jersey. Well, I won't need names or whatever, but yeah, he had an instance where partnerships, best friends, wasn't going seeing eye to eye. You know, the there's a lot of things that, and you're exactly right, just because you're friends doesn't mean you go grow business together. Even for amongst us three, it's sometimes hard for us to not goof around and BS with each other, right?
Right.
But, you know, we have these weekly meetings, and we have a set agenda for ourselves, and we just knock it out, because mm-hmm. we understand that the business come, you know, it's kind of mission first, people always, as they say in the military. Yep. So for us, we kind of have to, like, restrain ourselves because we've known each other for, and we know each other's hot buttons, which is great. People might not like that, but you know, we know each other's hot buttons. But really, you know, what I'm happy with is we understand each other's strengths and weaknesses, right? And that's what you need to do. And especially if you're leading a team, just like anything else, know your people and put them first, and making sure that you have to do your mission in your business.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, if you do have a friend who, you know, let's say you're starting a business and you have a friend who's really great at marketing, you know, maybe they have a job doing marketing someplace else, and they're just a rock star at it and everything like that, but you're not really sure if you're going to sync, you know, too well in terms of being a partner. It's okay to hire them, you know, as an employee, not necessarily as a partner, like a business partner where they own half the business, you own the other half, or whatever the percentages work out to be, because that gets messy. You know, if things start going sideways and start heading south, trying to get that person out of the business so you can move on there, it gets messy, and it's not really a great situation. So, you know, hiring them as an employee, see how it goes, keep them on for 6 months, you know, something like that. See how it goes. And if it works out and you think they would be a good partner, then yeah, you know, if that makes sense, then bring them on. But you don't have to, you don't necessarily have to keep them as a partner. You can keep them as an employee. And I think that might be better off for the relationship, at least short term. So you don't end up, you know, fighting like a, you know, old married couple, you know?
Yeah. Geez. And you know, you hear the stories, you can see them, you can hear the stories of just people that exactly that, just it, where it's like both partners, bad blood, totally bad blood. And now who owns the company? All right. I'm doing all the social media. I'm taking all the social media with me.
Right.
And you know, it's, you got to know your partners.
Exactly. That gets ugly.
Yeah. So going back to the wide world of the Navy SEAL that taught me, I wish I got to know my partners more. So yeah, know your partners.
And I think you brought up a good point, I think maybe even inadvertently, but the point of, you know, like one person might be in charge of social media, or one person might be in charge of this account someplace, or, you know, whatever. It's kind of dangerous to put all your eggs in one basket, you know, because you never know. Even with somebody that you've known for years and years and years, their motivations can change. They might have something else going on, and they may end up taking, you know, whatever it is, their social media account, maybe it's the finances, the bank account, something like that. If they're the only signer on the bank account, they can wipe you dry, you know? So you have to keep all that stuff in mind too. So I guess, moral of the story is running a business is not for the faint of heart.
Well, hey man, people think it's just like anything else. They might think they see all the fame, the glory, and you know, the prestige and everything around it. But behind the curtains, man, if you see some really good hustlers out there, that's why I love being in this space and get to meet to other business entrepreneurs, veteran entrepreneurs. You're able to talk with them, and you're like in the trenches, and you're like, okay, what can we do, or what have you been doing? What can I do better? How can I help you? How can you help me? Stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. So your military experience, you had, you know, your sports, you know, growing up, you playing sports, and you know, your military experience, all of that has helped you in your business, you know, learning about teamwork and all that kind of stuff. Is there anything else from that you took away from your military experience that has helped you in your business, that has helped, you know, to grow it, or to lean on other people and things like that?
You know what? I always say the military is like a fast track for your college about leadership and people skills. Mm-hmm. Something about the military is you get to see, you get different leaders all the time. You get a new CO, you get a new squad leader, platoon commander, and you get to see all types of leaders walking in and out of a room. And you get to either A, I hate this guy or gal, and I would even follow this person to McDonald's, you know what I'm saying? or B, listen, if he tells me to go through that door, or if he tells me to take anything, take that bridge, take that house, I'm in. And right. I was very fortunate to meet people like that. Now, with leadership comes people skills. And having those types of people skills, especially in business, I believe is very important. You know, we're very fortunate that we go to these, you know, we do a lot of weddings and people love us and they love our team because, you know, when we bring people on board to the Mobile Cigar Lounge, that they're wholeheartedly people, they're all vets, which is great. And they kind of like, they put the people, right? Mm-hmm. And it's that same mentality. Mission first is to get the job done, but people always, where we need to make sure that the people are good to go. And so when we translate that to weddings, private parties, birthday parties, it's about, you know, and listen, we're at the part where the utopia part, where people are drinking, people are having fun, they're having a good time. So, but that's where we value a lot of what we do is because of the military, of learning those people skills and learning those leadership. And, you know, going back to the hard work, those are all great fundamentals. But something that I really took out was the men of leaders that I met and a lot of the people I've met. And I always like to say is, you know, especially leaving the Marine Corps, and you could say it for yourself, leaving in the military, you know, I don't miss the circus, but I miss the clowns.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, it was a fellow Marine told me that, and I was like, man, you're absolutely right. Yeah. That's how I view it. But that's what I took away from it.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else that you wish you knew before you got started with your business or even before joining the military? You know, just general advice for anyone who might be in your shoes, you know, where you were, you know, 10 or so years ago, you know, whatever this time period was. Anyone else who was in your shoes, what would you give them any other kind of advice?
But just, I would say one, get, you know, put your ego in your back pocket. We don't just remember, humble yourself. You don't know everything. There's people that have done phenomenal things and you'll find out they love to give back and they want to help you out. So, yeah. So if you know, being humble really does help. Two, you gotta do the research and the knowledge, you know, you know, we talked about all throughout this thing. We've talked about people I've met. There's people in your life that you don't know that have a wealth of knowledge that you never got to pick their brains. And something that I've learned as well, it's like, I know it might be a little bit harsh, but no one really cares. When I say that, you know, there's people that care, but you have to do the work. Yep. You know, they can show you the door, and this is being real, you know, right? They can show you the door, but you're the person that has to walk through it. Right. So at the end of the day, they're not paying your bills. They're not paying for your business. So no one cares. You have to do the work, right? Listen, do people show you that could help you? Certainly. At the end of the day, you have to do the work. So once you have that in your head, that, you know, you're not coming out there with a, you know, with a, if someone says that it's not a handout, it's a hand up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that's such a great phrase because there's people, resources, knowledge, organizations out there that want to help you out and do a help up instead of a handout.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
So yeah, I would say those three things, putting your ego in your back pocket, do your research, think of yourself as an E1, as a private, and ask your fellow senior enlisted. And at the end of the day, no one cares. You got to do the work.
Exactly. Yeah.
Do. I mean, I can't think of anybody. You might have had someone might have had a great idea. No work behind it. It's a zero return.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I hope that was good. It was, you know, that's all I would say.
Yeah, it is. I think that's good advice to give. So we're kind of coming up on our time here, but why don't you tell us a little bit, you know, like where to find your business, you know, anyone who's in the New Jersey area who might be interested in your services once when things start opening back up, which who knows when that's going to be, but.
No, you know what, man, if you're in the New Jersey area, please hit me up, especially when this is over. We love grabbing smokes, right? So the name of my business is called The Mobile Cigar Lounge. We're 100% veteran-owned and operated. I do have a storefront that's coming up. Unfortunately, it's been on hold. It's called Bellowwood Cigars. It's located in New Jersey. But for the Mobile Cigar Lounge, what we love doing is creating these experiences and turning them to unforgettable memories over a cigar. So if you can find us on Facebook and Instagram, it's at the Mobile Cigar Lounge. We're on YouTube, the Mobile Cigar Lounge, LinkedIn, the Mobile Cigar Lounge, TikTok, the Mobile Cigar Lounge. So, and visit our website, www.themobilecigarlounge.com. And then, you know, we'll put my email. If you want to email me, it's jdizon@themobilecigarlounge.com. Please hit me up. You know, we do a lot of events. We do a lot of weddings, parties, anything to, where there's a celebration, especially if you're military, you understand the cigar there's a lot of things behind it. And people remember things. I love finding those things out. Right. But yeah, you can hit me up at the Mobile Cigar Lounge.
and we'll put links to all of that in the show notes for you. And so that'll be there for anyone who catches this episode later on and wants to follow up with you and find out more about what you're up to. So thank you again for joining us and sharing your story to entrepreneurship, going from military life to becoming an entrepreneur. And thanks for joining us.
Thank you, brother. Thank you again for the opportunity. Really appreciate you doing what you're doing.
Thanks for listening to the Drive On Podcast. If you want to check out more episodes or learn more about the show, you can visit our website, driveonpodcast.com. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive On Podcast.